This is a reading from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he has taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This is the same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven. Will come back in the same way you will see him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Joshua. My sermon title for today is "Now What?" As I was preparing with this text, I couldn't help but wonder how the disciples were thinking during this moment. What a roller coaster they had been on during the last month and a half. They followed Jesus, saw him get arrested, saw him die, saw him get resurrected, and then appeared over 40 days proving that he was alive and talked about the kingdom of God. After Jesus' parting words and ascension, I imagine there's a bit of shell shock. Maybe the apostles were handling it a little differently. In the next passage, we see Peter go straight into teaching. Peter is hitting the ground running. But maybe some of us can relate to Peter. And maybe we might relate to the other apostles who might have been feeling less sure about what they were supposed to do. I think at some points between Jesus' ascension and the Holy Spirit arriving during Pentecost, I'm sure they asked one another, "Now what?" If they had memes, I'm sure they'd be sharing the one that you just saw earlier. And maybe our confirmands are asking the same question, "Now what?" These students, as we have said, have been on a two-year journey looking at the Old Testament, the New Testament, and briefly looked at the history of the church. And as we have heard, they and their parents, I must add, woke up early so that they could get here at 9 a.m. each Sunday. What dedication they had. But now that they have finished this sequence, what comes next? Sure, people can sleep in a little longer, maybe take longer showers, maybe arrive at church not at 9 a.m., but during the announcements, perhaps. But after enjoying these luxuries, then what? What does it mean now that their time in confirmation is over? Does it mean that discipleship is over? Does it mean that there is nothing more to learn? Maybe after this service, I'm just going to say, "Good luck. See ya. I hope that you remember everything that you have been taught." Obviously, that's not going to happen. But I think the questions of "now what" and "what next" are questions that keep coming up throughout life. Maybe some of us have asked this after graduating high school or after college. Maybe it was after finishing a season of a sport or the last show that you performed. Maybe it was after watching the season finale of a show that was way more disappointing than it should have been. Maybe it was after the honeymoon phase, after getting married, or moving into a new apartment, or after the funeral of a loved one. There are plenty of moments in life with transitions, with a before and an after. Before these moments of transitions, we might say we conceptually know what to do, but sometimes when that moment comes, we might find ourselves not knowing what we're supposed to do. Maybe not for some of us. Maybe some of us can relate to Peter and hit the ground running during transitions. Or maybe some of us this morning are in the middle of a transition, asking, now what? If there's nothing else you hear me say today, if there's something you want to write down from today's message, this is it. God is with us as we carry out his mission while waiting for Jesus' return. And the Holy Spirit enables us to do this mission. God is with us as we carry out his mission while waiting for Jesus' return. And the Holy Spirit enables us to do this mission. Now that I've said that, if you do have a Father's Day brunch, I would appreciate it if you didn't get up and leave right now. No one's getting up, for the record. But you may be wondering, Adam, show us what you mean by God is with us as we carry out his mission. And what do you mean that the Holy Spirit enables us to do this mission? I'm glad you asked. In Matthew 28:20, we see that Jesus says that he will be with the apostles until the end of time. This is the way that Matthew ends his account, leaving his readers with the promise that Jesus is always with us. Interestingly enough, Jesus promises that he will be with us always after giving the Great Commission, where Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. And how does Jesus want us to do that? By baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching new believers everything that Jesus commanded. Does this sound familiar? In our passage today, Joshua read in verse 8 that the apostles will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they will be witnesses of Jesus in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Similar to Matthew's account, Luke, the writer of Acts, says the apostles will receive power when the Holy Spirit arrives. We see in these two passages that God is present as his disciples are carrying out God's mission. That mission being the work of the kingdom of God, which is making disciples of all nations and being witnesses of Jesus. As we look in the rest of the book of Acts, this is exactly what the apostles do. In Acts 2, immediately after the Holy Spirit arrives, Peter begins to preach to the crowds about Jesus, or to use more consistent language, Peter begins to witness to the crowds about Jesus. We see that many from the crowds are baptized and began to be taught by the disciples. And if we read through the rest of the book, we will see the apostles following Jesus' command. Not only are the apostles baptizing, teaching, and witnessing, they are also healing the sick and feeding the hungry. Does this sound familiar? This is because we see this exactly during Jesus' ministry while on earth. We see Jesus teaching, witnessing who he is, healing the sick, and feeding the hungry. I want us to notice that God doesn't leave his disciples to do things that they have not done before. As the disciples are following Jesus, they are learning and being discipled by Jesus as they are with him during his earthly ministry. Jesus tells the disciples to go and do at some points, and we see this in Luke 10 when Jesus sends out the 72, and in Matthew 10 when Jesus sends out the 12 to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, drive out demons, and proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? These actions that the disciples are doing when they were with Jesus, they are doing in the book of Acts through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. As I was preparing and noticing this pattern, I made this image called the discipleship circle. And we see that there's three steps in the circle. There's encountering God, learning and being discipled, and going to teach and to do. And through this entire circle, there's a green circle that's originating out of the encountering God piece. In Scripture, we see the disciples doing that with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. As they are encountering God or afterwards, the disciples are learning and being discipled. And then the disciples go out to teach and to do what they have just learned. During this whole process, God is present. The discipleship circle can be seen with many people's stories throughout the Bible, and let us look at some examples. Some examples of the disciples encountering Jesus is during the great catch with Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Another is when Jesus calls Matthew out of the tax collection booth to be his disciple. And as we have been walking through the book of John over this last year, we saw Jesus calling Philip and Nathanael to be his disciples. As the disciples are following Jesus, they are learning and being discipled by watching Jesus as he is healing the sick, feeding the poor, and through listening to his parables. And as I mentioned previously, Jesus sends out his disciples to heal the sick, feed the poor, proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. Jesus is sending out the disciples to go teach and to go do what they have been taught by him. I'm going to say that again. Jesus is sending the disciples out to go teach and to go do what he had taught them. If we go to Acts 2, we can see that the circle is cycling back around with Peter and the other apostles, the ones who are teaching the new believers. We see that the crowds, when the Holy Spirit arrives on the scene, interact and witness the Holy Spirit. We see that Peter, who has been learning from Jesus, begins to preach to the crowds who Jesus is. And then many from the crowds are baptized and join the apostles' community and learn and be discipled. We see later in the book that there are many stories of people taking action or teaching after encountering God and being discipled. Philip and Lydia's story, for example. And so the circle goes around and around as people are transitioning from encountering God to learning, to taking action or teaching. And as people are going around and around, they might be the ones teaching new disciples who are learning. Some of us might be wondering this morning what this might look like for us at New Community today. Some examples to throw around of encountering God might be receiving communion. It might be through a sermon. It might be in nature. It might be through making art or looking at art. And by all means, this is not an exhaustive list. These are just examples to help pinpoint or brainstorm for you and this community. Some examples of being discipled or learning is discovering what God is revealing through your encounter. What is God saying when we take the bread and the juice at communion? What is the good news from the sermon. And what is God showing you through art? Some examples of going out to teach or do is to join a ministry or a food pantry. And as you are teaching or taking action, carry and embody your encounter with God and what God has revealed to you. And be encouraged. The Holy Spirit will enable you to do this. Some of us might be coming this morning in different places on the circle. Some of us might be in a place encountering God and are ready for the next step to learn and be discipled. Some of us might be in a place having been learning and having been discipled and are ready to be sent to go and do what they have learned. And then there might be some of us who are out doing or teaching and are burning or burnt out and waiting to encounter with God again. I want to name that even though God is always with us through this whole process, there are going to be seasons when it might not feel like it. There are going to be times when it might not feel like it. And it's okay to name that. It's okay to long for a headfirst encounter with God, even if you've been a Christian for a long time, to encounter God again like you first did. And it's okay to name that desire to God. I invite us all to consider, where are you on the circle, and what do you need this morning? Where are you, and what do you need in this season? I want to recognize again that we are being led this morning by the confirmands in the service, and we thank you for leading us in worship this morning. I also want to note that this isn't their first time leading us or serving this church. These students have led us in front and center roles as well as behind the scenes. These students have done announcements. They have taught our children in Kids City, and they have worked with the media team. And so, confirmands, to get to my question, now what after today? I want us to remember that nothing really changed after Jesus left. We see that the disciples witnessed about Jesus and made disciples of all nations, something that Jesus was already doing with the disciples while on earth. And after Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit enabled the disciples to do God's mission, to witness about Jesus and to make disciples. So, to finally answer the question of now what, continue on the discipleship circle. Continue to encounter God on Sundays with your church family and throughout the week with however you encounter God. Explore the different tools that we have done together, whether that be manuscript studies, breath prayer, memorizing scripture, or however else you connect with God. And as you are encountering God, be open to learn and be discipled. Be open to the mysteries that only God can reveal to you. And then go do or go teach what God has revealed to you. Jesus told us to go make disciples of all nations and be his witnesses. There are so many ways to go about that. And be encouraged, confirmands, because you are doing this. Continue to teach and demonstrate to our children how to be Christ followers. Continue to serve this church and community by leading us in worship, which connects us to God through music. Continue to serve on the media team, which helps many of us who experience God through visuals or sounds. Continue to serve on the Connections team, who demonstrate God's love to any and all who walk into this house of worship. And serve on the food pantry, because because Jesus says, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And when I was naked, you clothed me. For whatever you do for the people who come for these resources, you do as if you are feeding and clothing our God. All of these witness to others who our God is by how we teach and how we serve. We are witnessing to one another in this community. We are witnessing to our neighbors in this neighborhood and to those in Chicago. Church, God is with us as we are on this discipleship journey. He is there when we encounter him. He is there when we are being discipled. And he is there and empowering us to go teach and to go do. Praise God.